Welcome, everybody, to The Psychologists Are In. I am Maggie Lawson.
And I'm her podcast partner in crime, Timothy Elmondson.
And this week, we are lucky enough to have the big man himself, Steve Franks, to talk about Psych the Musical Part 2. It's always such a ball whenever Steve comes on the pod, and we can't wait for all of you to listen to this week's episode. Please enjoy. So, Steve, what I've been saying, Detroit, we had this live show. It was wonderful. And, but there's also this, like, you're the man behind not only this whole show, but like this episode, rewatching this musical, which I don't think I've done in a very, very, like, I think it's been since like way, 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 way back.
Same.
What you did, like, oh, hello, baby. We love a doggy. Yeah. And what is it?
He brought a squeaky ball in for the podcast because we need this sound. We need this going on the entire time.
This is okay.
So that's Finny. Hi, sorry, Finn. Finny. I know. Finny. You can't do a squeaky ball during the thing because we're talking about Detroit. We're talking about what happened over the weekend.
We love a dog appearance, though, as you know. We had this magical weekend and even made more magical to... we got to do a live podcast with a room full of the most kind,
enthusiastic,
like dressed up in pineapples. Like not that I ever would think that there's any, any of the Psych fandom would be anything less or dying in any way or whatever. But just to be in a room like this is such a reminder of like this show. And then on top of it, just how special this show is. And you, we were talking about you so much, Steve. Like it was like every single thing we said, but I think Tim and I were both like, and that's the genius of Steve Franks. That's a genius. I'm like, we need Steve on stage with us right now.
Exactly.
Then,
I mean, we always say, are you all ready to help us podcast the shit out of us? But to what Maggie was saying, boy, howdy, did they. There was a feeling of love in the room that was just so palpable for our show that just took this to the next level of anything we've ever done before.
It really was.
I think you concur with that.
100%. It was so special, Steve.
Well, thank you for that. And I don't need that kind of affirmation. I think there's a certain amount of attention that a human being needs in their life. And I've already exceeded mine. So
I disagree. There's always room for more. And it's just because of you that like we get to have, we got to like a musical episode of this show that was just not just fun songs inspired by other things, but it's so purely true. Every single song is so psych and tells the story. Like as it started under Santa Barbara skies and sort of setting up Sean and who he is and like all that. And then going into, I've heard it both ways and it takes every psychism. It takes the whole show, all of the relationships, and you somehow put it into a musical form. I don't know. Anyway, I was blown away watching it again. And I think all of the psychos, Steve, they were like, I was like, wait, what song comes next? They all knew it. Like it was really, 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 really special. And anyway, and there were of course like lots of Tim and I saying, we can't wait to talk to you about this just because we're also going to do a very special episode for the musical, obviously when we get to it in the series, but I don't think we can have too many podcasts about Psych the Musical. So I'm down to have as many interviews as possible with you.
I like your idea of having 10 of them. I think that works out perfect. And I was also feeling like how amazing you guys get to go to Detroit, because I have never been to Detroit. It is like one of the few major American cities that I've never been to. And I'm very intrigued by their pizza. They put the sauce on top of the cheese. I don't know how that works, but I am willing to learn and try.
Someone had brought up Detroit pizza when I was in the autograph line and I never heard of it. So, and not like, I mean, we were technically, we were in a suburb of Detroit. So we didn't really get to see Detroit that much. So you didn't miss anything other than the lovely thousands of adoring, just amazing, incredible psych fans that came out. I would say let's make an objective decision. Let's hop into part two because we could talk about Detroit in part one for another hour.
I agree. I feel like no matter what, I want to get this out in the we need a psych convention ASAP. That's all. I'm saying that we need our own. We need to, like, just as we get the hashtags going for everything, I feel like if we have to do anyway, I feel like there's such a love of the show, and I think it would just be so fun if we could start a little psych con. So that's just my two cents. So psychos, I think, and hopefully you would agree, but let's start that hashtag too, maybe.
I can't agree more. Steve, there was a new hashtag that came up in part one, which is hashtag psych on Broadway. Because this musical needs to be on Broadway. It was so, I mean, that was my first impression when I was listening to that opening on Santa Barbara's Guys. Like, my God, why was this never on stage?
I was always hoping someone would come, and not thinking Broadway, of course. I'm thinking off high school production.
That would kill. This show off Broadway would kill dead.
It would.
I would. If the Toxic Avenger can have its own musical, then I almost feel like the time will come. The time will come. And there were actually a couple other songs that in the original scoping out of this that I never did and didn't put together. And there's so much about this that I would love to go back to and tweak. You know, I look back and don't want to change things, but because this shoot was so truncated, mm-hmm. and because we, which we'll get to in all of that, but we had to do everything at a sprint. There's so many things like, oh, I wish we'd had a moment for that. I wish we could have done that. I wish we could have afforded this, but we did this in 14 days. We did this on the schedule of two episodes. And, to that it's, and that's with you guys making a television show before and after this and coming in, Maggie's coming in for, you and James had to do the dance rehearsals, and actually Timmy had to do it too. Everybody was, it was funny. Our choreographer was like, yeah, so what days are they available?
And speaking of, to that note, what was our amazing choreographer's name? Every time it came to the credits, I would miss it. Anybody?
Paul, right? Becker?
Becker,
yes. Becker, yeah.
Amazing.
Yes.
Yeah, amazing. And also, if you remember, we got the extra bonus of being able to perform a little on stage. We talked about this as well at the Upfronts that year. And so it was fun. We had to choreograph like a whole number for that too. It was like this ongoing thing obviously that was so huge, that year's Upfronts. That was also so special. But yeah, we were going to that dance studio on like our Saturdays. Yeah, and
that
Sundays.
That felt so good. It was like, oh my, like we're in a Broadway dance studio. We feel really cool and legit.
Yeah. And the recording studio at Capitol Records. Anyway, we'll dive in. We're just doing the songs. Like these, we're not doing like a whole too much of a crazy breakdown because I wanted to give Steve as much time to kind of elaborate and talk on all of this. But it should absolutely go to Broadway. I also have a pitch. You know how we remade an episode? What if in one of the movies is we remake the musical and you can put your songs in and we can do it now as all of us now? I think it would be so fun. Get Jasmine in there.
And Lily,
it's
could be doing it. Lily could be doing a high school production of Psych musical.
There it is.
There's your
and end. It's actually structured that could work within the Psych universe, since at the end it is Sean and Gus pitching it to Anthony Rapp.
Ah, look at you, so smart. Z.
Yes, this is such a good idea. You heard.
So it does exist. Yeah, it exists within the real life. And they also call into question in the last scene how much of it is made up in Sean's mind or not. And Sean and Gus won't accept the true part, because as Gus says, you weren't there. And it's like he lit, or Sean says, you weren't, man, he wasn't there. And he says he literally was there. So
the genius.
It's all framed exactly for this moment right now in 2023.
Because you're a genius, you knew it was coming.
All right, okay. So we're going to jump in here and I'll just get to the songs and then Steve will fill in everything in between. But Psych the Musical Part 2, written by Steve Franks and Adam Cohen, directed by Steve Franks, created by Steve Franks, imagined by Steve Franks. Like I want to get to this in a second. Pineapple Sighting. Did we actually did talk about this in Detroit because it was Sean tosses Gus a pineapple during Santa Barbara Skies and the opening of Santa Barbara Skies. And we open on part D with I've Heard It Both Ways, the reprise one. Lassie once again proves Sean is wrong, but Sean claims the second murder couldn't have been Z. There must have been another killer out there.
Before we get to that, I have to call out Steve. The narrator bit is just comedy gold.
It's so good.
In part one and part two, it's just so hilarious.
Wait.
And narrated by the incredibly talented Peter Chelsum, who I was so honored to have. He also a director in his own right and just a wonderful guy. And he came down and did the narration after the fact and on the Universal sound stages. And it was really fun to see somebody come into our world just to do a little voiceover and then descend into the madness that is the guest stars that every guest star that comes for the most part of how silly, how much fun. And I think he had like really a wonderful time and added so much to it just by the he's such an amazing, beautiful voice. And he was really, really funny.
So funny. So freaking funny. What?
And that whole bit was so complicated. We had a guy that we hired to draw the storybook pictures, and it's such a weird fine line between silly enough and playing into the exact genre. So we ended up hiring someone else to do it and just nailed it at the end. And then that scene, because we were shooting the musical, I believe at the end of our season, then we actually had to film that weeks later.
Oh, really?
And it was the first time I'd ever directed over Zoom. And I'm sure it wasn't called Zoom then. It was called something else. But we were in our offices down in Manhattan Beach and Richard Coleman was up there and they were shooting. They were just shooting all the pages go. And I go, okay, pull that thing out. And because it was, we couldn't fit it into our schedule because it was 14 days to do, 14 musical numbers, with an asterisk.
Yeah, that was so crazy that we did that. I'm so curious about the songs that didn't. Can you give us?
Oh yeah, yeah. There's I actually started, and this, I'm sure people have heard this before, but it's like we came up with a musical almost immediately in the first season.
That was my next question. When did this? When did the idea come up? All right, let's do it. Let's get into it.
It was probably your first day. So think of it that way.
So day one of after the pilot. Okay, got it.
Yeah, and at that point, it's going to be like, oh, we'll put one song in, and then it was like, it's like, well, we won't do it this year. And then the second season, I'm like, oh, I'm going to direct one, and obviously, I wasn't going to direct a musical. But then once I knew, like, oh, I'm going to write some songs, I'm like, well, I want to direct this too.
Eating potato chip, you couldn't have just one. That musical genius of your brain started gripping those songs out, you just had to keep going. I get it, because you're that good.
Well, and I was also, as you guys also can attest to, so overwhelmed with running a television show, having no idea what we were supposed to be doing and how we were supposed to put these seasons together and do arcs and all that stuff. So the first couple of years, it was like, oh yeah, I always put it on the board, musical, and we like I always say, and I'm sorry for repeating stories, but they're so good.
No, repeat.
But at the end of each season, we would stay. Oh, time for the dogs to bark.
It's okay. We love it.
Whenever somebody comes home, it's time for the dogs to bark. Okay, Penny. There's my son Quentin. He's making.
Hey, bud.
Quentin!
I got to call out. Maggie, I got to call out. Kirsten in this opening scene where she's recapping how we've lost both Yang and Z. Her,
oh my God,
her awesome looking new haircut and her very, very, very firmly, severely tacked down collar. So RIP Popped Vic. I think Pop Trick is now no more for the rest of the show.
But also her, like, her voice.
Oh, I'm not even to that part yet.
Okay. Yes. No, I noticed that too, though. I was so happy to see her. And also I was like, oh, she looks looking good.
And we knew that, Tim, we knew you could sing. And Maggie, we knew you sing because we'd actually seen it. And Kirsten was the one who were like, she has training. We thought, oh, she'll be pretty good. And she just blew us away. And when we got in the studio, which of course was the most fun a part of this whole process, and she just started hitting those notes and her voice, she has like a purity. I hate to say that it reminds me of a reference that's going to date me so much. But her voice is like as crystal clean as Helen Reddy's voice to me.
Because I love that though.
Yeah, and now it's like, oh, Steve, wow, that's early
'70s. But yeah,
yeah, but it just there's just such a beauty to it, and it was when we started recording this. Like in the first 2 minutes, I'm like, ah, crap, I should have wrote more songs for her.
I do have in my notes when she comes in to join. I think Maggie and I, what song are we doing when you meet you and me singing?
Oh, isn't it Under Santa Barbara Skies?
Right,
it's
the reprise. She comes in and just knocks.
The reprise.
Her first note just floored me.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Say, about that reprise of Under Santa Barbara Skies, the three of us all singing together in those last notes, anything on harmony, legitimately made me cry. Like I got really emotional about it because it was just such a fun scene to do, and just hearing all of us together. Singing with you was a dream and a gift. The three of us hitting harmonies was just like I'm literally watching and starting to cry. It was just beautiful.
I was the same, and I remembered so well that upfronts we all had together because we got to do that bit on stage, and it was so special. Like that time was so. I don't know. It was like this, the musical, the upfront, the whole thing. It was like, and I forgot, I actually kind of forgot that I had that much in the second part of Santa Barbara Skies. I actually did.
Yeah.
I was like, I started listening. I was like, oh, I sound pretty good.
You're beyond sounding good. You sounded fantastic.
I mean, thank you. I don't know about you all, but I'm kind of obsessed with research. Like, I will research anything before I purchase it. I will read reviews. I will go on different sites, different apps. That's just me. And I kind of love that, but also it can be a little overwhelming. Doing your research before you buy means making better informed choices, especially when it comes to stress or sleep products like CBD. A study by an independent lab confirmed some brands contain up to 60% less CBD than they claim on the label. Well, with Next Evo Naturals, you can trust you are getting best of the best. As the most clinically studied CBD brand on the market, Next Evo takes research to the next level. I have used Next Evo to sleep. Their CBD gummies were actually very magical, like kind of a peaceful sleep, not too groggy when I woke up. I kind of overanalyzed this, but I'm very careful about what I put in my body. I'm very sensitive to altering anything. So I take a lot of care around this. And I do have to say, Next Evo was one of the best sleeps I've had in a very long time, their CBD. And so now I'm excited to try all of the other products as well. I can't say enough. I'm a proven testimonial. Upgrade to a CBD brand that takes quality as seriously as you take your overall health. Next Evo tests their product multiple times to ensure you get 100% of what's on the label. Only Next Evo uses Smart Sorb CBD, proven to have 30 times better absorption in the first 30 minutes and 4 times the overall absorption as other products. Next Evo does its research as demonstrated by 4 clinical trials. No other CBD brand comes close. Upgrade your CBD. Go to nextevo.com/pineapple to get 20% off your first order of $40 or more. That is 20% off $40 or more at nextnextevo.com/pineapple. I don't know about you all, but for me, I always feel like I'm finished. I literally feel like I can go out in sweats, but if my nails are done, I somehow feel like polished or finished. Sorry, like pun intended there, but still, I love Olive & June. I love all of their colors. I love the company. I love all of it. Anyway, and I just feel better when I leave the house, even if I'm in sweatpants. If I have a great manicure, I kind of feel done. It just makes me feel better. In case you need a refresher, here's why Olive & June is amazing. Olive & June nail polish lasts 7+ days and do not chip. That is true. I've tried this. I feel like I'm like a nail connoisseur. Anyway, Olive & June's the best. With Olive & June's Manny system, you can achieve beautiful salon perfect nails at an affordable price. You can customize your box with your choice of 6 polishes. You get an acetone-free polish remover pot, an award-winning cuticle serum, and it breaks down to just $2 a manicure. I'll be honest, before Olive & June, my nails looked like they were painted by a 5-year-old. This is true. And a lot of you have probably witnessed this. But after I used the Olive & June set, I was so impressed with how amazing they looked. I recommended it to anyone I could talk to. My nails have literally looked so good, and I did them myself. And if you don't have time to paint your nails yourself, Olive & June also has the perfect press-on nails. They look so real and come in all different sizes so you can find the perfect fit. Getting beautiful salon-perfect nails at home is now a dream come true with Olive & June. Your new nail life is here. I will say with Olive & June, I discovered them, like, I'm a true fan. I love that they're now like a partner in the podcast, but I discovered Olive & June years ago. And I feel like during the pandemic, they were the reason that I always felt like I had like really nicely polished, done nails because of their whole kit. So it was nice to feel like I could still get a manicure. And also we were in the middle of a pandemic. So now I love that I can speak to this like for real. Anyway, visit oliveandjune.com/pineapple for 20% off your first Manny system. That's Olive, O-L-I-V-E. And June, June.com/pineapple for 20% off your first Manny system. I just remember Steve being so nervous. Were you there? Of course you were. The day in the studio where there was like a note, I think Adam was like, I was trying to hit or trying to do something. And I literally started to like I had such anxiety about, everyone was just so good. So I was like, oh God, oh God, oh God. My voice is like not as strong. My voice is not as like whatever. I don't know. So I was very intimidated while also blown away by the recording process, the recording studio process and all of that. It like we got to like, we did it for real. We were in Capitol Records.
And it was amazing. And we had Bruce Botnick producing that. The guy who directed, who produced the Doors LA Woman.
Oh my God. I didn't know that.
And yeah. And just like one of the great producers of the time. And once again, I was just so intimidated because, you know, he's such a fan of someone who has such an amazing body of work. And he's just giggling to himself and laughing. He goes, you know, this is really fun. He goes, people just don't have fun this way. And it was just so great. And those people you get to meet and get to be in the studio where Frank Sinatra recorded all these songs. And here we're doing our silly little business. And it's just sounding so far above what we ever would have imagined, well, at least what I would imagine. You guys knew how talented you were, but I thought, if we can pull these songs off,
I don't
be great.
I certainly didn't. I don't think any of us knew because we were all terrified. Maggie, would you agree?
Oh, I was so nervous, and I also felt like everybody was so good. Also, Steve, what you wrote was like on some other level. That there was also this like wanting to do that justice of. And I think just my own, I have my own like stage fright stuff anyway. And, you know, Tim, who I think like, even we were saying, I think you knew, I mean, you knew you could sing, but like this, I felt like really brought this, you were so good in this. This was like the lead up to Gallivant and your voice was so big, so strong. James and Dulé, of course, we knew could sing, but I do feel like we all were a little bit like, holy shit. Yeah, but it wasn't.
And watching the back, I remember, like, I think all of us going, I mean, I know certain for me, I was like, oh, I was actually, that's pretty damn good.
It's so good.
If only I knew that at the time.
I know. And so fun. Like, this, the whole experience being so, like, bonding for all of us. Like, we were having this, we were having rehearsals together. We were flying to LA to do recording in Capitol Records. I mean, Steve, and I think a lot of it was from the fact that it was like, this is like what Steve wrote was mind-blowingly, like, we all wanted to do it and you justice with, like, what you did with this. So I felt like, you know, is we wanted to bring our A game. So there is another level.
What you did, and you bring it, it still stands as the most difficult, a most challenging thing ever that I've ever done professionally. Yeah. And, but also the most rewarding. And, you know, you talk about Tim going back and listening to it and then tearing up. I used to have my iTunes shuffle, and I had all the soundtrack tracks, and I had all the different variations of it. And still to this day, I mean, I don't listen to iTunes as much, but even on Spotify, because the Spotify has the music soundtrack.
I didn't know that.
When it shows,
I didn't know that either.
Well, you should know that. And then when you get your AI DJ or whatever it's called, or the songs will show up for me. And no matter where I am, no matter how my day's going, it fills me with the joy of the day we recorded it every time. And it's like, wow, we did that, you know? And like, who allows us to do
Steve,
that?
I need to pause for a second and just really, because you just dropped a bombshell. So to be absolutely clear, Psych the Musical, the soundtrack is available on Spotify for all our beautiful listeners out there.
I'm gonna double check this it right huge. Now because I believe
because I know exactly what I'm gonna look up after we're done podcasting the shit out of this episode. Yeah. Oh, by the way, we didn't ask you, Steve. You're already doing it. I didn't ask you.
Here we go, Tim. For all those at home,
there it is. There it look is. At that.
What the hell?
That makes me so happy.
Oh my god, me too. This is so huge. And so everybody now knows this, but also, Steve, what you just said as well of us, like, getting to do something like this, getting to be as crazy as we wanted to be, getting to, like, it's like getting away with stuff. Like, this was so special. I'll go on to the next songs, but, like, anything else anyone wants to add in? I think we have a little synopsis, but yeah, Tim.
Actually, I do want to add in.
Yeah.
For our reprise of Under Santa Barbara Skies, mm-hmm. your hair is still perfectly wavy. From dancing in the rain in the park at the crime scene. I think this is my favorite version of your hair in the entire series.
Really?
Yeah, that length, that wave was just so fantastic. And I love that length on it.
Thank you to Cody for that. He, like, used this very cool iron that had, like, two little, like, prong things, and he would weave it in and out to do that wave every day. And it's funny because, like, it's so unlike me to have short hair. And I was kind of the same, Tim, as I was watching it. I was like, oh, I like the way it really works in the musical because it, like, we're moving so much and
it's got a little bounce to it.
In a bun, or something. So thanks, Tim. Thanks for pointing that out.
You look gorgeous in this episode. I mean, you always do, but this one in particular was awuga, particularly awuga.
And Tim, you reminded me, not only was this thing shot in 14 days, it was really 13 and a half because we had that day, the I Heard It Both Ways day, completely rained out in one of the biggest rainstorms we've ever been in.
That's right.
We had to leave in the middle of the day because you guys were sliding across the mud there, and you were tangoing together in that mud. I completely forgot that we ended up having to pull the plug on part of that day.
I remember that now. I remember the sliding. I remember all that's right. It was almost like out of safety.
Yeah, exactly.
Jumping over that log and his feet just going out from under him almost completely and hitting the ground. Right. Yes.
And when James did the thing at the beginning where he did the Fred Astaire step up, or maybe it's Gene Kelly. I don't want to get that wrong, but he steps on the bench and he tips over. He did it. He landed it great, but then the mud was so thick that he immediately slid down and got mud all the way up on the first take, all the way up his jeans. And it was like straight back to wardrobe. And we're like, oh God. if he falls again, I don't know if we're going to be able to do this. So we only took one more shot.
I remember this now too. And I remember. This is so funny. I remember the jeans.
And the craziest thing that that happened to me, and this actually goes all the way to Psych the Movie 1 and a heavier memory. But the day that thing happened, I don't know. Have you read the papers, Tim?
Oh, that thing. Yeah.
Yeah. That thing happened.
That was horrible.
So anyway, I saw it.
Yes.
I saw it in the papers. And, but the day that thing happened, we had we stopped and we didn't know if we were going to make the movie. And, so Chris and I had been up there for pre-production for a little while. James flew up. James was about to fly up, and we were like, can we make this movie? Will we make this movie? And we were like, I don't know. I mean, because we're all so practical, we said, oh, wait, hold on a second. We'll do it for insurance purposes so everybody can keep their insurance. So we said, all right, we should do it. And then it wasn't, should we do this? Is can we do this? And I said, I'm going to go for a walk. And I walked out into the woods behind our studio, and I just started walking. And I think I walked for an hour and a half in one direction with my headphones on. And I was starting to think, yeah, we could probably do it. And I saw a clearing, and I walked out to a clearing to go get out of the woods because I've been in trees for a long time, and I wasn't sure if I was going to find my way back. And it was the clearing where we did I Heard It Both Ways. And I'm like, well, if that isn't a sign that of something,
it's a sign.
I was like, holy crap.
I literally have tears in my eyes right now, Steve. That's like,
I thought that location was 20 miles away. I had no idea we were near the same place, but you get so turned around. And so that place, you know, has a, has like some sort of magical, mm-hmm. something to it that you know, and one of my most vivid memories on set and going forward and keeping all of this alive and then fortunately everybody is well and it's gotten us to today.
Wow, so. That is, thank you for sharing that story, Steve. Never heard that one. Like and also I like that was the like sign, because it is such a special, poignant location, like place. And also, Tim, you know, that's one of my absolute favorite moments in the whole series is the tango, and I've Heard It Both Ways and that whole run. But what a story, what a moment. That's really touching.
Yeah, and to get us right back on track, it was the half day that we did where, Tim, I'm convinced your kick went above your head during that tango in about 3 inches of mud.
Which, as I said in part one podcast in the live show, that may not have actually been my leg. I think it was. I think James, yes, it was my leg. And I'm still sore.
I think it was your leg. I really do.
It wasn't Paul or doubling me at all.
Yeah, well, you know, Tim, I was actually surprised at how much it was just you, because if you look, it's on your face. We're on your face. There's another actor in the scene who were not on his face quite as much, who actually may have a little more dancing doubled. Actually, you know what? Never mind. That particular actor. actually, he did way more dancing than I thought. And, you know, his pants were covered in mud. So at one point. So.
That's so funny.
But I don't know if you remember this. When we did the reprise in later, I think that's the most powerful vocal part of the whole thing for you, because it just it's dark and it's brooding and it's really powerful in that big empty field with a dead body who had been
person, they had been murdered.
Yes.
And watching that's it back, what, that was my full-on Javert, because that I noticed I do the thing where I do the Napoleonic hand tuck into my coat, because I was just doing Javert, which we talked about last week.
Yeah, we talked about this in Detroit.
So that's really where Javert really came out.
And do you guys remember in the, I mean, the other amazing thing, and I'm stepping a half step back, but when we did in the conference room doing the Santa Barbara Skies, that you guys were doing full on choreography in the smallest set in the entire show around the giant conference table.
And it worked.
I will say for a guy who always says he can't dance, watching that back, I was like, I actually danced in that. I was like proper dancing.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, and when it starts to pick up, and here's another mistake I made of the mini along this. I had originally imagined that as a Busby Berkeley type thing, where I was going to mount a camera on the ceiling, and then it was going to be all the background singers were throwing up files, and they would rain down upon. And it was going to be like confetti, but it would be police files. And I'm like, what a concept. Ah, this is amazing. Patting myself on the back. And then we went and set it up and we threw them up just to rehearse. Uh-huh. And then they spent 40 minutes cleaning up for the next take. And I go, files are gone. Camera doesn't go to the ceiling.
This
ever.
Is why we need to remake this episode. So it's like, if you could have your wish list of shots and everything else, like we got to have all that kind of be, it would be so much fun. What do you guys think? What if I just do like a speed read so we can just keep talking about this? I'm going to do a speed read of the songs, and then we'll, so we did the Santa Barbara Skies. Now I've heard it both ways, which we've been talking about, both Sean and Lassie, aha, at the same time. And for once, they're actually on the same page, except they actually aren't. And then break out into a tango yet again after trying to figure out who the killer is. Promised land over a beer. Sean and Henry try to solve the case, but that's when Sean gets a Skype call from Yang. Skype, I loved seeing Skype, by the way, because we haven't seen that in so long.
I have a huge, massive chauffeur, so everyone needs to pull their car over.
Oh, yes.
Like, no, I'm serious. Y'all need to sit down. Because when this happens, Sean calls Juliet. Or no, Juliet calls Sean, right?
Yeah.
And he answers to him, and it's the first time he says, Shules.
Yes.
It was the very first time that this couple has been referred to as Shules.
And also, I don't even know if James knew exactly that he was using the hashtag Shules when he was doing Jules. But it was very cute. I loved how he said it. And I love that the psychos made us Shules and we're still Shules. It's very cute. Okay, so over a beer, Sean and Henry try to solve the case, but that's when Sean gets a Skype call. Okay, Henry hangs up on her. Then Sean visits a bar that Z frequents and runs into him playing the piano. Sean realizes that Yang is the killer and runs to the old theater to be attacked by a caped figure that Yang fights off to help save Sean. Unfortunately, Yang gets stabbed by the caped figure before Sean even got to sing her a song, and she passes away saying she sees her angel, our favorite serial killer expert. I was just doing a thing, but we can honestly, like, I want us to just keep talking because our stories here are so good. But so we have Mary Lightly appears, then Sean has Sean's breakdown. He claims that Lambert must be the killer, which is great news for Gus.
So
yes.
you cannot pass this over. So Allie's death scene, I came out of my trailer because I knew Jimmy was going to sing his song. And I didn't know what he was going to do, but I knew whatever Jimmy was going to do with it was going to be absolute gold. And I remember just being so excited to like come up from a nap to go back on stage, back on the set, and watch the glory of Jimmy Simpson singing that amazing, beautiful song. And Allie's voice was just like, oh my God. Her line of, but you'll try. Meaning to put in the good word for her to go to heaven. The way she said that line again made me tear up. I actually teared up a lot during this whole musical.
It was so special.
Her voice cracking it gets me every time.
I agree. I think we'll just save the fan questions till the end. I think I'm just going to say, we'll just keep chatting because we have the Sean has his breakdown. Sean and Gus interrogate him, claiming he's the killer. And he's, let's see, Sean takes over the part, realizing the director was in fact the killer. Sean hands off the inspector costume to Gus and takes over as the inspector. As he sings, he immediately forgets his lines and breaks into dance. Just in time, Juliet and Lassiter arrive to help Sean, Z, and the director. The surrender, Z apparently named Zach.
Sorry, very important moment.
Oh, yes. We're going to talk about all the moments.
As Juliet's about to kick into it's Jake Jamaican and Spectrum Man.
Yeah.
We go backstage and see a very tall, very familiar looking chimney sweep played by our hero, Steve Franks.
Played by Steve Franks. I wrote that down. That was like the only note I took. Oh, it's Steve.
So your second Hitchcockian cameo, Steve.
Yeah.
Yes, I think I show up every, I don't know, I've lost track of where they are, but I'm hard to find, but I pop in every once in a while. And this one, I think I've told this story, but it was a cloak and dagger mission to get me to do this because Gordon Mark didn't want me to be in the musical. What? Because otherwise,
it was a union
because
thing.
Of, you know, otherwise, oh, it's like right. a union thing. And should they have hired someone else, a local right. or something? I don't know what the rules are. But
you had to be in the musical. This is
well, and I actually practiced the routine that I came up with.
Yeah, you warming up with your chimney sweep brush was hilarious.
It was so good.
It was so fun. And I managed to, like, Michelle had to do a wardrobe fitting for me. And then I had to go in the makeup. And I did this all on the day. And I was able to be very, very secretive and hide. And literally, I came back with my top hat. And I came back to just finish the shot before mine. And as I'm sitting, I sit down in my chair for 1 second. And Gordon Mark taps me on the shoulder and says, "So, how are we feeling?" And that's what makes a great line producer is that he knew.
He knew
all along.
Steve, we were trying to be stealthy in a top hat, making you 8 freaking feet tall.
Well, I mean, I was hiding. We were on location. We were, it was one of those things where I thought we were far enough out that we could hide, but you can't. You can't because a great line producer knows everything that's happening, and he certainly was.
And yet, we still pulled it off.
I have a similar Gordon Mark story about trying to get the girls on the show, which I won't go into right now.
Oh, that's so funny! I didn't realize that. I didn't realize that's a tricky thing, and I get it. But also, like, wait, didn't the girls get on the show, Tim?
No, they never did. There was a day we had it planned, and they were about to go on set, and then I see Gord's Volvo stage like a drive up. I'm like, "Ah, crap, we're caught." And the kibosh was quickly put on that.
It's that time in the show where I rave about one of my favorite makeup brands, Thrive Cosmetics. Cause is in the name for a reason. As part of their mission, every purchase supports organizations that help communities thrive, such as those battling domestic abuse, homelessness, cancer, and more. At the moment, you can't catch me without wearing the Sheer Strength Hydrating Lip Tint. I'm obsessed. I love it so much. This product hydrates your lips with a hint of tint that applies evenly and lasts up to 6 hours. I wear this all day. I love it so much. I'm not just saying that. I'm obsessed. No mirror needed, so you can have effortless application. That's also true. The Sheer Strength Lip Tint glides on smoothly for color that's comfortable to wear all day and has 6 tints to choose from. The lightweight, balmy, non-sticky formula hydrates your lips to make them visibly softer and smoother. And it's not a heavy lip product either. It's the perfect mix of gloss and tint. That's true. Thrive Cosmetics is amazing because it's certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free beauty products made with clean, skin-loving ingredients. That means no parabens, sulfates, or phthalates, all without compromising performance. I'm so obsessed with Thrive Cosmetics, you all. I love all of their products so much. You have to try Thrive Cosmetics to see for yourself. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order when you visit thrivecosmetics.com/pineapple. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/pineapple for 20% off your first order. You've been stewing about a health problem you have. You almost resort to texting your group chat to get your friends' opinions. You're extremely unlikely to find quality medical advice in your group chat, but You can find it from a doctor on ZocDoc. Thousands of medical professionals on ZocDoc are ready and willing to be there to help you. They listen like a friend. They give you the expert advice and care that you need. ZocDoc is the only free app that lets you find and book doctors who are patient reviewed, take your insurance, are available when you need them, and treat almost every condition under the sun. When you're not feeling your best and just trying to hold it together, finding great care shouldn't take up all of your energy. That's where ZocDoc comes in. Using their free app that millions of users rely on, you can find the right doctor that meets your needs and fits your schedule. Book an appointment with a few taps in their app and start feeling better faster with ZocDoc. I love this. Go to ZocDoc.com/pineapple and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. Many are available within 24 hours. That's ZocDoc.com/pineapple. ZocDoc.com/pineapple.
By the way, for all of you, once again, to get back to when you have your own television show, the thing to know is when the line producer shows up on set, you have done something
100%.
You are very behind.
That's like above, like that's like one. That's when Richard Coleman's like puts his hands, like throws his hands up in the air, and is just like this. This has to go to the next person. And you're right. Yeah.
And it is time to start condensing everything that you thought you were going to shoot that day into the minimum amount of time, because trucks are needing to be loaded soon.
I want to go back to, because Tim, you mentioned that you came out of your trailer today, that day, to watch the to watch Allie and Mary and that whole thing. I have a photo of us from, oh, there it is. It's there. Because we,
I was like, I have that photo. It's one of the oldest photos.
It's from that day. It's that day. And it was that moment, because we all wanted to see, right? Like we all wanted to watch it. I think we were done. Like I'm in my street clothes. Like I don't think we were even working that day. And yet we came just to see this like performance, and it was so worth it. We were all in tears. I remember it was so magical. And it really, for me, I don't know. I remember just being like, again, I didn't think I could be, I mean, I felt like the show always one-upped itself. Like we kept one-upping things, but like you almost think you get to that point where you're like, can we possibly top this? And then something like that happens and you're like, how did we do this? We did it though. And that moment was so special. We all got to be there together. And that was a big one.
Well, it's one of those.
It may not have been that I came out of trailer. I think I stayed late to go and.
Yeah.
I think we.
Well, I mean, James was not. Yeah, you guys are all in street clothes.
Yeah, so I think I was wrapped, and just rather than going home, I wanted to watch Jimmy.
Yeah, because I don't know if anybody got any days off. I just know I slept about an hour and a half every night for 14 days, and it was zombie time before the zombie episode, and we were just praying that we got everything that we could, but that day was so. You know, top five of the whole thing, because, you know, first of all, you type out, you know, Mary Lightly appears as a vision from heaven. And then it's like, well, how are we going to do that? And the magic and Scott Williams with the special effects guys, you know, had sort of come up with this idea. They created this pen that was like, you know, about 2.5 feet high that they filled with smoke, and the smoke would stay in there. Yeah. And we built it on the stage of the Orpheum there and put the cameras up on the ceiling, and we were testing it all day, and it wasn't working, and it was just thinned out, and you could see the hashtag marks on the ground and everything. And we were able to get it thick enough with the smoke machines to fill up there. And it was like, we had just, when Jimmy comes out, Allie's the one who comes out there, and Jimmy comes from up above, but it was just magic that it happened. And we didn't know what Jimmy was going to do. We knew we had that amazing coat, which I'm sure we all have pictures in. I have a picture of me in it as well. And when he drops that coat to reveal he's in the racquetball outfit from the funeral, I remember sitting there with James behind me, and I've never ever done this, but I just put both arms up in the air like the poster from the movie Victory with Sylvester Stallone. And it is just extraordinary. And on top of that, Jimmy was on this platform that was about 2.5 feet wide. And so he couldn't do anything, but still he's created this whole dance thing. And he was actually chained up there so he wouldn't fall. But he was, well, I mean,
he was harnessed.
Not chained. Not
no,
chained
I know what you
there,
mean.
But,
like,
you know,
like yeah, that's how potentially dangerous it could have been. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. So it was amazing he was able to do what he did on such a limited space. And it's just, you know, some things stick in your mind forever. And that day, you know, when none of our principal cast members is like the one that we'll all, you know, you remember the most.
And the shots from that too, honestly. And I wanted to also single out Jamaican Inspector just because he is so Dulé. What he brings to that number. Yeah, it's so good. It's just so good. Well, let's, there are going to be, I think, some, now that I'm seeing the fan questions, good stories from these fan questions as well. And, you know, we'll just reemphasize that this was our sort of like fun teaser, appetizer before we actually get to the musical later on this year. That will be this year, by the way. How crazy is that? We will actually get to season 7 this year.
Believable.
Insane.
You're going too fast. Way too fast.
Okay, where did the storybook idea come from to open the movie? Good question.
That was a structural thing that, you know, this was never intended to be two different episodes. I wrote it as a 2-hour. And, you know, somewhere along the line, probably pretty far into the process, they were like, oh, we're also going to have to, in repeats, air it as an episode. So we're going to have to split it in the middle. And I'm like, oh, gosh, the poor people who are showing up for the second half, they won't get it. And I go, well, you know what? Why don't I go back to the storybook thing? But it's at the top of Cinderella and all the musicals from the 50s. And I just love that. I really love to sort of play with those tropes and all of that stuff. So the idea was, we'll have a storybook. Now we need to do the psych version of it. So that was the fun of it, was the pages sticking together, the pages tearing out. And then somehow my favorite, which occurs in the second half, is when suddenly a dragon is this boat, Bozar torch the meadow.
Sorry, that's so ridiculous.
It's so perfectly fun, ridiculous. And by the way, that scene that took us so long because we're doing it over Zoom, but just to get in, you have such respect for all the people who shot all those opening segments, because you have to time when the page goes over at exactly the right time. And so it was pretty fun to do. And it was a necessary framing for, okay, this is going to be a psych musical, but we're going to draw from all eras of musicals.
Yeah, you do that though. It's like, there's also fairy tale elements. There's like all of that. It's like,
Well, and Jamaican Inspector is a Disney, as an animated 1980s, 1990s Disney animated style song. And it was never supposed to be in the movie. I wrote it, and it was one of those things that it didn't have a spot. It was just something that he was going to sing. And I told Adam one day, I go, well, I kind of written the song, and the meter of the vocal line is sort of hanging out, and they're it's a very, the beginning, don't worry, all is well, you mean Jezebel's help is on the way. There's Adam would go, okay, sing it to me, and sit there, because Adam's like, he was off on it's playing against the time of the song. And then when it gets to Jamaican Inspector, it's all amazing. But we didn't have it on the schedule. And but I had it in my back pocket that at some point at the end of a day, we are going to shoot Jamaican Inspector. And it would be one mm-hmm. shot, like we used to do those songs at the end of the credits. And when Dulé got up, when James was up on the crane, and we shot him when he was hanging in that scene, which was probably the most challenging scene of this whole movie. We're like, oh my God, what if we put Dulé up there? And we just started swinging him around, and we had 7 minutes. We did three takes. We had 7 minutes as we were supposed to wrap, and we did it. And Dulé did it perfect every single time. And the second one is actually a better shot, but you actually see the whole crew through the set watching from the monitors. So we blocked it out and we did it a third time, and he's flawless. And then we went back to the sink, and you can't find where his lips aren't singing the exact moment in that song. Well, he's being wildly swung around the entire stage. It's just
Steve,
fantastic.
It's and, like, you knew the next fan question was, how was Jamaican Inspector Man shot?
Oh, there we go. That's it.
That's so crazy.
What a psychic moment.
And also that you had 7 minutes to do three takes that were all perfect, but one shot of the crew that, oh my God, that's like, that is so fun. I mean, I know it's like I miss those days a little bit where you're like, we gotta get it. And then you get it. It's like the greatest feeling in the whole world.
And it's so perfect. And we knew we'll stick it after the credits. So
the fact that this episode closes with Jamaican Inspector Man is such the cherry on the top of the sundae. And I find myself again, like, I don't know why. I mean, because I think the pure joy of Dulé singing the song again made me tear up. Like the fourth time I teared up watching this episode.
Yeah.
He's so pure and so good.
Well, and it has the best lyrics of any of the songs. And Dulé actually gave it the more Jamaican feel that I could never have done, but
it's so special. I think this episode was just so special all around. Like, there was already an emotional element to making it. And then to go back and watch it and just remember kind of where we all were when we were doing it. And like these days that we would just wanted to be on set to watch everything. We didn't want to miss a beat of it. We wanted to see everybody's take of, we wanted to see Steve like doing his thing and or singing his songs. And like, it was just one of those moments that actually has, I mean, being a musical theater person, you do kind of, you bond in a way when you're making a musical, when you're doing something like this. It like, even our, I think all of our relationship as a cast and everything, even it went to another level during this. It was a really emotional experience. Okay. We know you love Grease, but what other musicals inspired you to create this one?
Well, there are so many, and I actually, like a year before I did it, I created a playlist. This is like a big commercial for the now defunct almost Apple iTunes. But I did playlists, and I just kept putting on. But so much of it was that's my my voice cracked from just all the
It's emotional. It's emotional.
It was so much, but Grease was a big part of that playlist, and a lot of it was the like the 80s, 90s Disney musicals, because the animated ones, because they were, you know, there's so much of that song construction, the hummability, that the, you know, the sort of. It's a pop sensibility, but not. And Adam kept saying like, oh, I get it. It's like, and I go, no, this is a movie musical, not a live musical. You know, I because he wanted to sound like The Pit, you know, and all that. And I go, I wanted the.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. So I wanted it to sound like, I wanted it to sound like those musicals. And the funny thing is like 2 years before that, I always thought, you know, at film school, my weak point was I hardly knew anything about musicals. So I didn't watch nearly enough of them. My idea of a musical was the Blues Brothers, you know, where, and of course, Grease.
But, that makes this even more of an undertaking then, like that you, like, cause it is a pure musical. Like it's,
And then there's things. There's a Music Man. There's so much Les Mis,
right?
As Tim will tell you, like Promised Land is like just a kind of a it's kind of a just a riff on the sort of bombast of the end of Les Mis, mixed in with with our bit of nonsense. Yeah. But it was always like, it's like we were never saying like, let's try to do this song. It's like, let's think of something in that vein. And I remember Anthony Rapp, when he came down to record his vocals for the first day, he did it, and he did like a really, like a restrained version of it. And we're like, bigger. And then he did it again, and he go, bigger. And he's like, are you kidding me? And he goes, like, are you talking like Michael Crawford? And we're like, yes.
Amazing.
And he's like, and we met him 10 minutes
early.
Oh,
earlier, my God.
You know, because he just showed up for the first day we met him. And he's probably thinking, oh, my God, what am I doing? And then finally, once he saw where he's going, he's like, oh, okay, all right, I see what we're doing now. But there's a taste of Phantom, especially in that first in Anthony's first song. Sure. There's just and it's just, you know, and very much at the very end, the last scene too, as
he's
well.
So good. Like, I can't wait to come back to this episode in a few months and go through this whole like the casting, the all of this, because he's unbelievable. Tim and I were talking and also what a human. Like, he was so fun and shared so many great stories and all of that. Okay, Steve. All right, we have two, which we kind of covered this. Steve, did you make a cameo in the musical, which we've talked about? Yes.
Of course, yes, absolutely. And it was a cloak and dagger stealth mission that we pulled off.
And then what is your favorite? Do you have a favorite song? Is there one that is your favorite from the musical?
Okay, from production-wise, Santa Barbara Skies, just because the whole thing from that day was that's going to be half of the next thing. But if I have to pick a song to listen to, I'll listen to Jimmy.
Makes you happy.
So
it makes you happy.
And I also, but I do like, I've heard it both ways because, just because of what it became.
Absolutely.
Because it actually started as with a completely different feel. And the tango element of it is really what brought it together. So that I can't be unhappy with any of the songs. They just bring me so much joy, and a selfish joy that I like. I got to do this. I got to be part of this. You know, and people paid for all these things, that those enormous sets. You know, that the whole show is built on. It's
it looks like a painting.
Is it mise en scène?
Yeah.
That's
it might be. No, but the way we shot, the way, like, coming down the stairs in the first, at the beginning, if I heard it both ways, using that whole space, the big wide shots there. It's just, this is such a little teaser for what this is going to be when we actually get to it. Steve, we're just so happy we got to grab you for any of this, because you were just gushed about so much in Detroit this weekend. And we're all so grateful. And it still blows my mind that we got to be lucky enough to do something this creative. And you made it happen.
And I just found this.
Yeah, and I don't, once again.
Yes!
Oh, there you go.
I just found the musical on Spotify.
Yay! This made this entire day worthwhile, finding Spike the Musical on Spotify. Thank you, Steve.
100%. 100%.
And I'm very excited to hear how the first half of the musical thing went, and to try some Detroit-style pizza, and to get back together. Because these are just notes that I made during the productions of this podcast. So there's so many things to talk
about.
Wait
until we get, I want to pick your brain. We might have to turn it into 10 episodes when we get.
What we should do, this is a suggestion. We should actually do the podcast for the musical in the spot it was supposed to air in, not a whole half season later when so many storylines don't make sense anymore.
I love it.
Yes.
Because, you know, it was written to play at Christmas in between our
That's
seasons.
Right.
And then they moved it. They called me and told me they were going to move it. And I'm like, well, Juliet knows that Sean's not a psychic. Spoiler alert for everybody.
Right.
And Chief Vic is still the chief of police at this point. So it's very strange to air it where That's we so did. True. And we tried to cut a few pieces out of the songs and stuff, but there were some things that were just locked into lyrics and whatnot. We couldn't do
that
it.
Is, I forgot that. I forgot the airing process of this. Also, Devin, I don't know if anybody else can see the chat. Do you see what she just pitched?
I don't see it, no.
Or do a musical podcast episode.
It's so funny. I always thought about doing a musical podcast episode and bring Tim Meltrigger and bring guitars, but I think you get into a lot of songwriting.
But you own it.
Yeah, they're your songs.
I don't know. Right. I don't know.
Well, no, it's true.
Oh, that's a great true, idea, Devin.
Anytime you try to do stuff with music, everybody gets weird about it.
I know.
It. But yeah.
It's weird. It's a great idea. We have much to pitch for that. So Steve, we're going to podcast the shit out of the musical in like so many different ways. Love you, Steve. Thank you so much. Thank you for giving us this little, fun teaser first for the musical. We'll also get you back this season, for another episode, anything, of course, you want to do. Any episode you ever want to do ever. And I can't wait till we actually get to the musical. It's going to be so good.
Well, again, thank you guys. This is always a joy. And you guys, thank you guys.
Steve, love you. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for doing this.
Love you guys.
And mostly, thank
you
for writing this incredible, incredible episode that stands the test of time like nothing I've ever seen.
And for giving us this experience.
Well, it was a collaboration with everybody and Adam, of course, and all of everybody who did everything. So. And Chris Henze, who stayed up there for a month and a half with me. Well,
Chris, we got to get he's got to do this too. When we get to the musical, we got to get everybody's, cause this was such an undertaking, but such a special moment. I feel like for all of us.
Yeah. Well, we all worked twice as many hours as we would on a normal time. And it we get to reminisce now about it a decade later.
And it's like, it was yesterday in a lot of ways. And Psychos, we can't wait to share this with you and the whole musical, but you get to have this fun little teaser. And I know you all were so excited. We may or may not, without confirmation from you, Steve, have mentioned that you might be doing part two of this, and everyone was very excited about it. So now at least it's true.
You know, I always show up.
And we love you for it. Thank you to Steve Franks for coming on the podcast this week. As always, don't forget to follow us on our Instagram at @thepsychologistrn and our Twitter at @psychologistpod. Plus, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/psychologistrn for full video episodes of the pod and the live podcast episode. We will see you next week with a very special guest, the one and only Carl Weathers. So excited.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.